So just a little bit ago, I thought this was kind of funny. I got a text message from Richard Kintop, who's our worship director. He's in Texas right now with his family, and he just wanted you all to know he misses you and hi. And I thought, I'm glad he didn't do that during the sermon, because he did once. My first Sunday in Champaign, I was standing up to do a baptism downtown, and all of a sudden my phone starts vibrating in my pocket, and I think it was Richard. But, man, I want to say a special thanks to Bill and the band that helped with this morning. Great job, you guys. Thank you for stepping in. All right, before I go any further, are there anybody in the room today who has a birthday this week? Anybody? Anybody? Raise your hand if you do, please, please, please. I see a couple. Yesterday, for you, there's, oh, I don't think I have enough. You got to come see me at the table after this. Happy birthday. I know sometimes it stinks to have a birthday during Christmas, because Christmas gets all the attention, but it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah. I handed out a mug back there. Our youth group, just a reminder, is selling those mugs to raise money for their Go and Serve trip. So if you'd... Woo! Buddy, good tackle. That was good. You led with the shoulders and nice work. Woo! Was not ready for that one. Knocks me right off the stage. Hey, Kobe, before you go, I told Kobe we would do this. What do you get when you cross a vampire and a snowman? That's the only one I remember. What do you get when you cross a vampire and a snowman? Frostbite. That's Kobe's joke. Okay, sorry. One more funny story. This was an interesting week in our house. We had to take one of our children to the ER this week, our first ER visit. From a finger that was slammed in a bedroom door. But the person whose finger got slammed doesn't really like attention, so wouldn't prefer her name to be called. So we're at the ER, and this person is laying her head in my lap while the doctor's doing, you know, the stitches and everything. And guess who got sick? I had to look at Mom and say, "We got to switch. I don't feel good." Boy. Well, it is almost here. Can you believe it? It's almost here. 2 days until the day we remember Jesus' birth. And I want to talk about that today. It's an old story, but it's a beautiful story. Jesus' birth story. Speaking of births, at our downtown campus, there's a Sunday school class going on right now looking at this, and it's based on a video series. I think the guy who made the video series is named Ken Bailey or something like that. Related? No? Okay, good, because I'm going to make fun of it. The title is what I'm going to make fun of. Great, great video series, but he calls it A Clear View of the Birth of Jesus. And I just picture, you know, Mary laying in the hay and Joseph standing there with a camcorder. I'd rather have an obstructed view, I think. So we gave it a different name for the Sunday school class. Now, this is a story that's probably very familiar to you. When you heard Jane read it, I don't know about you, but I just picture Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas special and Linus telling that story. In the Gospel of Luke, it unfolds in just such a simple way. Simple and real, but it's also just so full of symbolism and beauty and deeper meaning. But really, it is a simple story. There's no fanfare, no trumpets, no footprints on a card mailed out, no video camera. It's just a little baby wrapped in cloths and laid in a feeding trough. I'm gonna move this. That's bugging me. I love how this is such a simple, kind of messy, just real birth story. In fact, it's one of the most compelling parts of our faith for me. The fact that our Savior the Son of God, God himself made flesh, chose such a simple, humble, real way to break into our world. I mean, if I were going to create a faith, I'd take a very different approach to introducing to the world my Savior. You know, I would have him coming in with angels and this army of people, and I'd want the world to know, here is God. But I think it says so much about the character of God that he chose that way to become one of us. It reminds me of the heart of God, which is a simple, humble, gracious love, a persistent love, a real love. And the real is what I love about it. And in the Christmas season, with all these things that distract our attention and so much busyness and so much pressure, what a great thing to just stop and remember that this was real. This was real. Well, here's one of the things that caught my attention this week as I was looking at this story. It becomes clear right away in this second chapter of Luke that there's a lot more to the story. I mean, Jesus' birth, I mean, it takes up seven little sentences, and right away it moves on to something else. In fact, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John don't even mention the birth at all, not even in there. So it's not that it's unimportant. I mean, is there anything really more important than this story that God became one of us, took on flesh to be with us? Emmanuel, God with us. But right away, the story keeps rolling. It moves into something new. Right after this, right after the birth story, there's the story of the shepherds. And we'll be reading that tomorrow night at our Christmas Eve service right here. But in the story of the shepherds, the angels appear, and they say something interesting to me. They say, In verse 11, they say, they tell the shepherds that a baby has been born. Not just any baby. Not even just the Son of God. I mean, how amazing. God became one of us in that baby. But that's not what the angels say. They say, unto you, a Savior is born. So we see right away that Jesus' birth is about saving us. So the question is pretty clear right off the bat. What does Jesus' birth mean? What's it about? What's the rest of the story? Jane also read the passage where Simeon sees the baby. He's holding the baby in his arms and looking at him. And he basically says, this baby has come to reveal what's really in our hearts, to show us what we're really about, to lay our hearts open, and then to speak the truth to us. That's Simeon's announcement, holding this brand new baby. Jesus' birth story is about showing us our failures and restoring us to life, restoring us to relationship with God. Right after that, if you keep reading in chapter 2, there's the story of Anna. It says that Anna's this old lady who's been in the temple just forever. She's widowed, and she just hangs out in the temple serving and helping. She sees that scene with Simeon holding Jesus. And the story tells us right away she starts praising God and singing. And then she goes and she says, or the story says, she announces this birth to everyone who was looking for the redemption of Israel. All of these people who were waiting for God to come and restore the things that were lost, the things that were broken. That's what the birth was about. So really, from the get-go, I hope it's pretty clear, we see Jesus' birth story is pointing to all these other things. So that leads me to this question. What's your birth story about? Christmas is a great chance to remember Jesus' birth story. It's a good chance also to stop and ask, what's my birth story about? Imagine an angel appearing to your parents when your mom was pregnant and saying to your parents, I've got good news, hopefully good news, a baby is going to be born to you, and this baby will, what would the angel say? You get to finish that sentence. So what's your birth story about? Now here's the beautiful thing. Our birth stories are still being written. Even though our births have already happened, the meaning of our births continue to unfold. Each choice that we make affects that answer. Our priorities, our values, the way we live, the things we do, the way we show grace, the hills that we'll die on, all of those things contribute to the answer. What is your birth story about? What's the story of your life going to be about? Now, the Bible uses this metaphor of birth quite a lot. In one story, Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus goes up to Jesus there in the middle of the night because he doesn't want anybody to know that he's talking to him. And he says, Jesus, you know, help me understand this thing. We know that you're from God because if you do great things, but I don't get it. And Jesus tells him, nobody can see the kingdom of God unless they've been reborn, born again. The best translation is probably born from above. Nicodemus doesn't get it, which is good because usually we don't either. And so Jesus explains it. And here's what he basically says. Our birth stories never quite line up with what God has in mind for us. We all miss it at some point. And the only way that we can discover that God-intended life is to be remade. So when we make our lives about following this person, Jesus, our birth story gets a makeover. In fact, we get a new start. We get a new birth story. And you know what? That's what redemption means. It means all the things that were before, all the things in our lives that are broken, all the dark places. It's not that they go away, but we get a new birth story. Now, there's a number of children, and you know what, adults too, actually, in our congregation who really and truly got a new birth story when they were adopted. Babies who were born into some pretty tough situations, babies whose futures looked pretty bleak. But these babies were welcomed into a new family, a new home. They were given a new future. The possibilities for what their birth story would be about, the possibilities were endless. Their future became wide open when they were adopted. You know what? That's your story, too, whether you know it or not. The Bible speaks over and over again about God choosing us. God welcoming us into a new family, adopting us as his own children. That's our birth story. We who were far away from God, maybe didn't know God or possibly didn't even like God, we've been embraced, we've been sought out, loved by God, welcomed into God's family. And you know what? That's what it means to be born again. It means that we've been adopted into the family of God, and we have a new birth story. We have a new family. This is your family gathered in this room. Hopefully that's not a scary thing. We have a new future as children of God. And adoption, it's a very personal story for me, but what a beautiful metaphor for God's love. I've got two adopted kids. One of them's right there. And you know what I can say with all my heart? It blows me away. There is no way that I could love them any more than I do, even if I'd made them. I walk into their bedrooms when they're asleep at night, and I look at them, and my heart just wants to bust because I love them so much. You know what? That's how God sees us. That's your birth story. I'm reminded of the verse from Song of Solomon where it says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Adoption reminds us that even though God doesn't owe us anything, he gives us everything. Even though God is not obligated to us in any way, he decides to make us his own family. It even says we're co-heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus stands to inherit from God, which is everything, we are co-heirs with Christ. Because we're daughters and sons of God together with Jesus. So Christmas reminds us that even though we're not flesh and blood children of God, we've been adopted into that family. At the beginning of the service, while you were coming in, we had on the screen some pictures of some babies that were born into our church families this year. There's some beautiful babies, some wonderful stories of birth and new life. How exciting it is to look at these and to think about their future, to think about what their birth stories are going to mean. I took that one. That's why it's kind of blurry. How exciting to look in their eyes and to think about the possibilities. What are their lives going to be about? What are they going to do? How is the world going to be different because of them? What's their birth story going to be about? So much to look forward to. This Christmas, when we remember Jesus' birth, I hope you take the time to think about your own birth story and to keep asking that question. What's your birth story going to be about? Because of our new life as children of God, anything's possible. So much hope. Our futures are so bright. The possibilities are endless. What kind of impact are we going to have on the world? How will it be different because of what we do? So much to look forward to. What will our birth stories be about? Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for Jesus, remembering his birth. We give you thanks that you sent Jesus so that we too could be your children. We thank you that Jesus' birth was about our redemption, our being made new. Thank you that you give us every day a new possibility, a new birth story as your children. Thank you that all the things broken and hurt and painful in our lives, you want to make new. And thank you that you want to send us out with a new story to be your people in the world. Would you, God, open us to the possibilities? Would the world be different because of you in us? Through Christ. Amen.